Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Atlanta is Elliot Coward. Elliot is an associate at Morris Manning & Martin. She's also the author of the chapter Self-Disclosure and Return of Overpayments for the Complete Healthcare Compliance Manual. First, Elliot, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, let's talk about self-disclosures. And first, it's important to note that there isn't just sort of a moral obligation to self-disclose or pay over billing inaccuracies or for various other reasons in healthcare. There's a lot of obligations both in the law and incentives to do so. Can you briefly walk us through them?
Yeah, from my perspective, the obligations can really be broken down into two buckets. One is this very concrete legal bucket where certain governmental payer rules, such as Medicare's 60-day rule and the corresponding statute, require that providers submit accurate bills for payment. And if any noncompliance with those payment guidelines is discovered, then the providers are legally required to refund any resulting overpayment. The second bucket is less concrete, but no less important. This is more of a carrots and sticks approach from federal regulators that encourages self-disclosure with certain incentives, such as lower False Claims Act penalty multipliers, but then also punishes the failure to self-disclose with really high fines and, in some cases, even criminal investigations.
Those would definitely be strong carrots and sticks. Now, before an entity self-discloses or repays the overpayments, what should it do in preparation for any subsequent inquiries from the government?
I think the most important thing is that entities should just be well prepared at the outset. So this means that when you do your initial internal auditing and preparing your repayments or a self-disclosure, all of these matters should be taken seriously and done really well. So that means that all overpayments or issues need to be run down and identified. The overpayment needs to include exact amounts that can be traced back to specific claims or statistically significant extrapolations. And the provider also needs to have its story straight. So by that, I mean the provider needs to understand what the problem was, what caused the problem, and it also needs to have a remediation plan in place. For simple overpayment refunds, this can be easier than for big self-disclosures. So for a self-disclosure, the provider will really need to be able to show that it has identified the root issue and has taken proactive steps to address that issue. In addition, for self-disclosures, it's likely that the government will want to interview the key employees that were involved. So prior to making a self-disclosure, the provider should ensure that the interested employees understand that a self-disclosure is being made and that such people are prepared for any interviews. My last piece of advice here is that for simple repayments, the goal is to avoid subsequent inquiries. So this means that the provider needs to follow the directions to a T for each payer being repaid. I usually see subsequent inquiries related to repayments when the provider has sort of skipped steps on the repayment or failed to follow directions. So no matter how nitpicky the directions on your state Medicaid website are, the provider needs to follow those directions and not try to create their own repayment process.
Well, the more you can have your information together, the better. I mean, it's certainly don't want to go into this where you really don't know what went wrong or change your answers. Now, obviously, overbilling and payments may result in the need to self-disclose and repay, as we've discussed. Stark Law violations can also trigger a self-disclosure. How does the process differ based on some common incidents that could lead to a self-disclosure? And how should an entity decide whether to repay or self-disclose?
Overpayments and disclosures can be broken into three big categories. So the first is the easiest. This is just the repayment. And as a general rule of thumb, a repayment is appropriate where the provider discovers a billing error but doesn't see any indication of intent or fraud or anything like that. The second bucket is an HHS OIG self-disclosure. And this is where the provider discovers a violation that does maybe show some indication of intent or fraud and shows a violation of something like the anti-kickback statute, the civil monetary penalties law, or the False Claims Act. So these are going to be cases where a provider discovers an internal practice, such as a physician performing medically unnecessary surgeries and billing for those, or a physician who's ordering medically unnecessary lab tests for every patient that comes into the practice. These can take a lot of forms, but really where there's some indication of intent. The third bucket is a Stark Law self-disclosure made to CMS. And this is where the provider discovers a violation of Stark Law. This is distinct from the OIG disclosure because a Stark Law violation doesn't have to show intent since Stark Law is strict liability. So the provider may just realize, for example, that it's been renting this MOB space to physicians for a decade, but it never had a written lease in place. In that case, there will be no intent, but it would be a violation of the Stark Law, and Stark Law disclosure would be appropriate.
And I just did a podcast on the whole issue of real estate compliance and healthcare, and it certainly is an area where there's a lot of complexity and a lot of places where organizations can go wrong intentionally or not. Now, how does an entity know whether it can do a self-disclosure or repayment in-house versus when it should hire outside counsel and or an outside auditor to help?
As a general rule, I would say that if you're self-disclosing to the OIG, you should engage outside counsel to do so, unless you have a very robust, large in-house counsel office. Investigation of these matters should really be done under attorney-client privilege, if possible, to allow for a robust and open investigation and report of the matter. On the other end of the spectrum, for just a routine internal compliance sampling audit, where the provider may discover a handful of claims that may require repayment, these can usually be done in-house and are easy to manage on most Medicare administrative payer websites or through the provider portal with your MAC or Medicaid provider. For more robust internal audits, where the provider discovers, say, some billing issue that's been going on for several years, in these cases, it's good to engage outside counsel and to engage an auditing firm under privilege through outside counsel. An auditing firm will be invaluable in conducting a statistically significant audit, reaching back for the recommended timeframe of 6 years. And the auditing firm will also be invaluable in calculating the overpayment through extrapolation, since most hospitals don't have statisticians on staff. In these cases, counsel is also important because the provider will need to conduct an investigation related to these more significant billing issues in order to evaluate whether a repayment or a self-disclosure is the more appropriate avenue to take.
So all this really argues about going slowly, carefully, and thoroughly through the process. What are some common mistakes that healthcare providers make related to self-disclosures, repayments, or failure to do either?
Two big mistakes come to mind. The first one, which sounds obvious, but it's not, is not repaying. Sometimes providers, whether through their revenue cycle team or otherwise, might discover an overpayment from a billing error. And, you know, it may not seem like a big deal to this person in revenue cycle, but if the provider fails to investigate and repay that within 60 days, then all of a sudden the provider is in violation of the False Claims Act. So what may have been an overpayment of $20,000 is all of a sudden subject to treble damages and potentially criminal investigation in the worst cases. The second mistake, and I mentioned this above, is more administrative, which is that providers try to cut corners on repayments and make it easy. So they may assume that, oh, I only owe $400 to Medicaid, so I'll just send a check with a cover letter. But if you don't actually follow the steps that are set out on your state Medicaid website or TRICARE website, you'll have someone from the agency asking 100 questions and making what was a simple, tiny repayment into a big pain. And you may pay legal fees, you know, five times as much as the actual repayment if you don't do it right the first time.
Well, that's good to know. Now, on the other side of the coin, what really makes the difference in getting it right when making a self-disclosure?
Yes, I think the overarching rule is really just to do your due diligence. Know what you owe, know what went wrong, and know how you're going to fix it.
Well, I love the fact that we're ending with something that's that simple and direct and tangible that people can go forward with. Elliot, thank you for sharing your insights with us today and in the chapter Self-Disclosure and Return of Overpayments for the Complete Healthcare Compliance Manual. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.